Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, you know what? We're getting close to tax time. And so I would like to bring on a special guest. I know I say they're all special, but doggone it, they are. And I'm glad to have Marty Davidoff with me today. He is a CPA and an attorney, and he's going to be talking with us today about a very special subject, and that is the subject of IRS liens. The website for today's program is leanbusters.com. And I'm very pleased to welcome Marty. Marty, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
So glad you're here. So you've done the best of both worlds. It's not just for Hannah Montana, it's for Marty Davidoff as well, because he's a CPA and an attorney. You're just you're a glutton for punishment, man.
Well, it's the way it ended up happening. I actually became an attorney first.
Okay. All right. Well, that explains it.
And then with all my coursework, I was ultimately able to take the CPA exam.
Excellent.
I actually never majored in accounting.
Oh, thank God, right? Oh, no, it's a great combination. I'm teasing because I'm a CPA financial planner, so I guess I have just a CPA attorney to tease. But so you've seen this really from both sides of the fence, so to speak, and you've done a lot of work. Let me let you kind of give my listeners a quick background, because we're going to get into this very mystical and difficult maybe to understand area of IRS liens and dealing with the IRS. But give our listeners just a quick background on you and what brings you to this point.
I went to MIT and then Boston University for my degree in finance. I was at the Sloan School undergraduate in MIT, Washington University School of Law. And then I've worked for CPA firms for a few years, and I've been on my own as a CPA tax attorney. For 30 years, I've been involved in White House conferences on small business. I speak tons on offers and compromise, which is a specialty that I have. Our firm is a tax boutique firm that we have about 15 people that deal with IRS controversy matters.
Okay, so if somebody has a serious problem with the IRS, you can help.
That's what we do.
Okay, and they can go to leanbusters.com, and that from there they can get some direction. So now I do hear, you know, we've all heard, I suppose, television ads, radio ads, if you owe the IRS X amount of, you know, you've heard that. When should somebody call you, Marty? When should they call you to get help? Is there a certain amount of money that is involved that would make sense for them to hire you?
They should call me for help any time that they don't know what to do next.
Okay.
And it could be, sometimes it's as little as a 15-minute consultation. When they do call me, it would be helpful for your listeners, when they have an IRS problem, to get one thing from the IRS that most people don't know to ask for, and that's called an account transcript. So if you're on the phone with the IRS and they say, you owe money, say, may I please have an account transcript for the years you say I owe money? Now, like a doctor reading a radiologist reading an X-ray, I can read those account transcripts and interpret them. And without the account transcripts, you know, we're trying to piece things together. But the account transcript is a good place to start for your clients to give to any tax professional. And then in a very short amount of time, they can diagnose what's going on and say, aha, this is where the problem is. And here's how, and then they can advise them of their rights. And sometimes in a 15-minute call, a 30-minute call, an hour meeting, we're able to really help our clients help themselves.
Outstanding. And now, your office is in New Jersey, correct?
That is correct.
But does it matter where people are in the country?
No.
Oh, that's cool. The wonders of technology.
The wonders of technology, and got lots of friends and family down in Florida.
Oh, well, it's a good place to be. We're nice and warm here today. Marty Davidoff is on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, CPA and attorney, and the website is leanbusters.com. So what is the number one thing? You mentioned the account transcript, which I think is a great tip for our listeners. What is the number one thing that people either don't understand or they get confused about or they're intimidated about with dealing with the IRS?
They're always intimidated. I think what they need to understand is that there's a set of procedures with the IRS. You have the ability to go to appeals. You have the ability to speak to a manager. You have the ability to say, listen, I can only pay so much money. And if the person on the other end of the phone says, no, you need to pay more, you have a right of appeal. But if you think you can't pay, you need to be able to prove it to the IRS and fill out the financial data and say, here's my financial information. And once you produce that, that's probably the second most important thing. The first most important thing is you have to keep current on your taxes. Some people start getting behind, and they get behinder and behinder. They say, I want to pay last year's tax, then I'll pay this year's tax. pay this year's tax first. And that's one of my rules.
That's interesting.
Keep current first. Because if you keep current, we can always help you. And if you don't keep current, I can never help you.
So you keep current. So it's, as we love to do in the accounting world, is last in, first out. You got to pay that last bill first, and then you go back and fix and deal and do an offer and compromise, which we can talk about after the break, about what is involved with that.
That'll be great.
Very good. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Marty Davidoff is on the line with a CPA attorney practicing out of New Jersey, but can help you wherever you are in the country. The website is leanbusters.com. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, Marty Davidoff is on the line with me, leanbusters.com. And Marty is a CPA and attorney and has done a lot of work in this area. And we're talking about IRS liens. We're talking about dealing with the IRS. So they've got their account transcript, Marty. They are keeping current on their taxes using our wonderful last in, first out, paying their bills as they come. But they're going to go back and try to work on a prior obligation that they are getting communication from the IRS about. What's next?
Well, next is to evaluate your alternatives.
Okay.
And you know, the first alternative is you can pay all the tax too. Sometimes you can get a loan, a mortgage loan, an equity loan, and pay all your tax. You probably talk about that in your shows about how to get equity loans.
Sure.
In part and parcel with that, you can seek penalty abatement when you see if you have late filed returns or late payments. If you only have this happen once in a while, they have a first-time abatement program so that they will waive the penalty just for asking. But you have to ask. You have to say, hey, I haven't had a penalty for the last 3 years. This is the first time I've had an abatement in 4 years. Would you abate it? And their policy is to abate it.
So you have to ask and say, I'm sorry, I messed up. The dog ate my homework. Will you please forgive me and not charge me the penalty or interest?
You don't even have to say I'm sorry. It's a first-time abatement. The rules are very, very clear. Mm. You've been compliant for the three prior years, and you do it. The dog ate my homework is for when you're asking for reasonable cause. And that's the second step. When you don't qualify for first-time abatement, then you have to. And they're a little bit more strict than the dog I hate ate my homework.
Okay. So I want to go back to something else you mentioned earlier, Marty, and that is that if you can't pay because you just don't have the money and you're going to show that you're going to give them financial information to support that, it goes without saying that you better be telling the truth because this isn't like, let me make up a sad story that I can't pay and then to try to get out of paying or string it along. You better, all of what we're talking about on the program is you better be telling the truth.
That's true. And what I'd like to do is just, once you tell the truth, let me just go quickly through the alternatives.
Okay.
I mean, you can full pay the tax. You can pay the taxes and interest due and seek penalty abatement. You can tell them, I can't pay enough. They'll look at your budget and you go in something called uncollectible status. You can get into a partial pay installment agreement. Let's say you owe a lot of money and you're never going to pay it off. They have a 10-year statute to collect. You can go into a partial pay installment agreement until the end of the statute. You can do a full pay installment agreement on a streamlined basis. If you owe $50,000, less than $50,000, they will allow you to spread it out over 72 equal months.
72 easy payments.
72 payments.
They might not be easy.
They may not be easy, but they may be. Sometimes somebody owes $20,000 and it's $300 a month, and they say, I'm there.
Okay.
They may qualify for an offer and compromise. And there are some special situations where they may be an innocent spouse case. They may be able to go bankrupt on the taxes if they're over 2 or 3 years old, depending upon whether they were delinquent or non-delinquent taxes. Individual income taxes do qualify for bankruptcy if they're of a certain age. There may be other things like identity theft entering into this, which affects thousands of your listeners, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And then sometimes it's just a matter of misapplied payments or, just errors in some of this.
There's so much there, Marty. Real quick, identity theft, yes, I'm sure you are paying attention to this. It's a major issue on the rise with tax returns, and we've actually started offering that through my company to help people with identity theft plans, finding something to help them fix it when it happens, because it's almost impossible to be 100% bulletproof. The bankruptcy, I've heard different things. I'm glad you brought that up. So In some cases, the debt to the IRS can be eliminated in bankruptcy?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If it's over 3 years old, we're talking individual tax debts, not trust fund taxes from payroll taxes.
Okay.
They can be. One of the things I want to make sure we talk about today, though, is how the liens get, how liens get dealt with
yeah.
the IRS.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's kind of a mystery.
Excellent. Yeah. So first of all, how do they come about and where do they go and how do they apply?
Okay. Well, the first thing is when you file your return, if you owe money, there's a secret tax lien established. You and the IRS know about it, but it's a lien nevertheless under the law, but it's a secret. And then when the IRS gets aggravated and you don't communicate with them or it's above a certain threshold of money, they then issue something called a notice of federal tax lien. Now it's a public record. So let's say you go down the road and you say, okay, I'd like to release that lien. Either I want to pay it off, you know, I satisfy the debt, and they release the lien. All right. In some cases, you have a house underwater and you want them just to release the lien against that house so you can sell it, and they'll do that. There's a special procedure you go through. But let's talk about the release of the lien. You pay off the debt, you release the lien. Now, David, as a financial planner, how's their credit score look even after a release lien?
Mm-mm, not going to be good.
Not going to be. What if that lien was withdrawn? That is, the IRS says it was a mistake. It never happened. What happens then?
Still not. It might not be good.
Well, what I hear is that if the lien is withdrawn, it never happened.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay? Well, that's good news.
Okay. So using IRS parlance, a release lien means I had a lien, I had a tax debt, and it's gone. A withdrawal of lien means I had a lien, I paid it off, it's gone. All right? And if I withdraw it, it means it never existed.
So we've got to find a way to make sure it's done as a withdrawal, not as a payoff.
Well, see, here's what's happened. Up until about a year and a half ago, the only way you could get withdrawal if the IRS actually made a mistake. Then the taxpayer advocate and the commissioner of the IRS came up with this great idea. Listen, we want to help American taxpayers who are deadbeats, all right? And we are going to invent this system whereby if you pay off your debt, and got a lien release, we will now, if you're compliant in all other respects, we will now allow you a withdrawal of the lien.
So this is Jerry Maguire. Help me help you, right?
Help me help you. Well, what's interesting, and this is what leanbusters.com is all about, what we do is that with this program, we basically take the information, submit it to the IRS, get the lien withdrawn, guarantee the work,
very good.
Get the lien withdrawn, and after this, their credit goes back up because their lien is withdrawn. They have to obviously, the taxpayers have to go tell Equifax and TRW
right.
and those people that they've done this. But basically, the withdrawal of lien is it never happened. And companies like FICO are not happy with this because they say, look, when people have release liens, at least we have a record that these were tax debtors and that affects their ability to, you know, carry debt.
Right.
The minute the IRS is withdrawing these and saying they're of no consequence, never existed, well, you're now blurring the lines of reality.
So it's messing with the credibility of their scores.
Yeah.
But
it's messing for the people to take advantage of it in a positive way. So the people in your audience who are not creditors, those who are former debtors of the IRS, they can get full relief by withdrawing their tax lien.
I love it. Help me help you. Leanbusters.com. Marty Davidoff is on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen, a CPA attorney, experienced obviously well-versed with the IRS and what goes on there. The website, taxbusters.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Marty Davidoff has joined us, and he's illuminating us on the IRS and tax liens, and he's got a website, leanbusters.com. Marty, I know there's another big subject we need to move to talk a little bit about, and it's the subject of offer and compromise. Now, is that where you offer to take your wife to dinner at a particular restaurant, and then you compromise and go where she wants to go?
How did you know?
Happens all the time. No, this is a very special thing with the IRS, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and it's been around for a long time, and it's been of significance, raises about $200 million a year for the IRS. There's about 60,000 people who submit an offer each year. And of the ones that are evaluated where you provide full amount of information, two-thirds of them get accepted.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a high statistic.
That's a high statistic.
So this is somebody that owes money, and you're saying, look, I know I owe it, but here's what I'm willing to pay. I want a deal.
I want a deal, and the IRS has a very formal way to look at this. They really look at two parts when they're doing this. They say, first of all, what's the net realizable value of your assets?
How much money's on the table?
How much money do you have? And when they do net realizable value, they take the fair market value of your house and they discount it 20% for quick sale value. So if you have a house worth $500,000 with a $400,000 mortgage, and $500,000, let's say, is the real number, you could sell it for that. All right? Even though you could end up with $100,000 equity, for purposes of the offer and compromise program, it's zero.
I see.
Take 80% of $500,000. So that's the first thing is they look at net realizable value of assets, basically less secured debt, not unsecured debt. Unsecured debt has nothing to do with this. They do look at what's in pensions and profit sharing and retirement plans. They do discount it for whatever taxes would be paid. So that's the first part of this. What's the realizable value for your assets? Because that's going to be half of the equation.
Okay.
All right. The other half is they're going to say, how much can you pay each month? And we're going to multiply that by 12. Now, that's a big difference because it used to take, let's say you could pay $500 a month. All right. Up until May of 2012, they would multiply that $500 per month times 48 and say, okay, add $24,000 to the net realizable value. Now, since May of 2012, they say, we're just going to multiply that by 12. And so we're going to add $6,000 to the net realizable value, and those numbers equal reasonable collection potential. You offer us reasonable collection potential or more, we will accept the offer.
Interesting. So you basically can get yourself in a position where there could be discount. So they're not coming off of the tax you owe, but they're coming off of how they're basically figuring out how much you got to work with, and they'll say, okay, we'll take it.
They'll take it if it meets their things, that it hits reasonable collection potential, and that during the life of the statute you couldn't have paid it off. So if you could pay it off in an installment agreement, they're going to say, no, we're not going to do an offer.
And that installment agreement can go as long as 72, or did you say 10 years?
Well, 10 years is the statute.
Okay.
So if you could pay it within the statute, now the time you apply for the offer might be 7 years left in the statute, or 6 years, or 8 years.
So they've got a maximum of 10 years from the date you incurred the debt?
Yes, they have a maximum of 10 years, but that 10 years could be extended by certain situations.
Okay.
And in extreme situations, they may reduce that 10 years to judgment. But that's an extreme, not the general public.
Okay. But in general, if they haven't collected by their best efforts within 10 years, they're not allowed to do that?
Yeah, generally they don't do that.
Okay. But if you're a bad enough boy, they can do it.
If they're a bad enough boy, they will do it.
And there are attorneys that work for the IRS, right? I mean, there are attorneys that litigate and sue the taxpayer on behalf of the IRS.
Absolutely, they have district counsel, and they have the U.S. attorneys, the tax division of the Department of Justice.
And they go after the big dollars.
They go after certain kinds of cases. Department of Justice reduces items to judgment. District counsel will do subpoenas and other things, but it's generally going to be Department of Justice that reduces things to judgment and also does the criminal things, which are fairly rare, but that's what's happened.
Well, you see sometimes, of course, it's publicized and it's notorious, if you will, with some celebrities getting in trouble with the IRS, and we hear about it or see it in the papers.
That is certainly correct. Do we have time to talk about streamlined agreement?
We do. We're going to take one last quick break. Marty, thanks for setting that up. You know the drill. Marty Davidoff is on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen. The website is leanbusters.com. This last quick break, and we're going to come right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back with Marty Davidoff. The website, leanbusters.com. Lots of information there on how to resolve, work with, deal with IRS liens, and lots of good information. Marty, we've got time for one more subject, and you started to get into it before the break.
Yeah, that's streamlined agreements.
Okay.
If you owe the IRS less than $25,000, they will enter into an installment agreement with you. They will allow you You don't have to provide any financial information. You just have to agree to a direct debit. After 3 months of direct debit, even if they've already filed a lien, they will then withdraw the lien during the pendency of the streamlined installment agreement. So that's one part. The second part is if you're under $50,000, all right, you have to fill out a very short financial, which was basically for them to determine that you have the capacity to pay.
Okay.
The form 9465FS, as in Frank Smith, and you can download that from IRS.gov. That form was filled out, sent in, you call the IRS, read the numbers off the form, and if you're under $50,000, they'll do a streamline agreement, and if there is no current lien yet filed, they won't put a lien on. And if you get the 50 under 25 at that point, they will then withdraw any lien if there had been a lien. So basically, you have two varieties. They're both streamlined. They don't require a lot of financial disclosure. And it's something that the IRS just wants people to get into an installment agreement, streamline fast, and get it moving.
How much input or control do you have over the length of that streamlined installment agreement?
The maximum length is 72 months for this, under a streamlined agreement.
So you could ask for that, or you would talk to them about it?
Generally, what happens is what I do is I take the amount owed divided by 66, and with interest, that ends up being the right number. And so I'll ask $100 lower than that. So essentially, you just ask for the number, and if it's the right number, they'll go through their computers and say, "Oh no, it's not $750 a month; it's $785. We can approve," and then you say, "Okay, that's
excellent."
Fine. So we have the conversation over the phone. Give them the information over the phone, then they ask us the facts, the form 9465FS, and usually it's a form 433D, I believe, which is the authorization for them to do the direct debit installment. Yeah, it's a 433D.
Very good. Well, Marty, that's all the time we have authorized for today. Marty Davidoff is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, a CPA attorney. The website is leanbusters.com. Marty, we'll have you back on another program. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much, David.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.